Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. You are in for a power hour. Well, if you listen often enough, you know I ask some thought-provoking questions at the outset of every show. Here are my questions for you today. Are you ready? When you look at our imploding culture and the increasing sense of godlessness and the sinful decadence that's all around us, tell me this. Do you think it's possible for God to change the culture without first changing you? Do you think it's possible for God to change the culture without first changing you? How important is your own personal revival in the greater kingdom story? I mean, do you live with a low level of faith and unbelief and cynicism? How important is your personal revival in the greater kingdom story? All right, here's another question. Are we in danger of losing the America that we know and love? Well, my guest this hour believes that the danger is very real, and that's why he's determined to help lead personal revival in spiritual revolution in our culture, values, morals, and in government. It is possible, but boy, oh boy, are we running out of time. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. James Robison is founder and president of Life Outreach International and the founder and publisher of Stream.org. Since 1968, James has presented the gospel on television with his program called Life Today. He and his wife, Betty, live in Fort Worth, Texas, and just a little side note, I've been on Life Today a couple of times, and they were the most gracious hosts. Loved my time with them, loved their hearts, and it is pretty fun to be on the other side of the mic. I'm not going to lie. So, James, welcome to the program.
No, thank you, Susie, and thank you for all you stand for in exalting truth and doing it in love with deep conviction and at the same time, great compassion.
Wow, thank you. That is my goal and my aim, so I'm grateful for that. Well, we love to start out all of our conversations, James, talking scripture. Love the passage you chose from Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Unpack that one for us, if you would.
Well, I think there's so much there that may somehow miss grasping and capturing people's appropriate and necessary attention. It is for freedom Christ set us free, and what a price he paid. And interestingly, the price to protect and preserve it is also very high. And the freedom that he purchased for us, how precious is it? It not only blesses those of us who've experienced personal freedom, but freedom itself blesses everyone, as does the rain. It falls on the just and the unjust, the unkind as well as the kind. It gives everybody an opportunity to experience what it offers that nothing else on this planet offers. Mm. So Jesus not only gave us eternal life, he gave us access to abundant life right here on this earth, this planet. And in this time, we have the opportunity of making a profound kingdom impact on the kingdom now. The future kingdom to come, we do not impact. We enjoy the blessings that are there without the continual assault on everything that's precious and meaningful. In this lifetime, we are to preserve the precious and protect it as salt. We're to pierce the darkness with illuminating light that inspires and directs and exposes danger and evil. And we're to do it in such a way that not just individually refusing to be covered by religion or tradition or compromise or personal comfort, we're to put that lamp up on a light and a lampstand uncovered, and we are to be salt, refusing not to have the effect we were assigned, because if we do, we'll be trampled under the feet of men, and everything that is godly will be trampled. If we as light will be an answer to the prayer of Jesus to stand together as the shining city set on a hill, you cannot hide that light. And that is what I believe Christians are being called to do today. If we're children of light, if we understand that truth sets us free and keeps us free, that it is precious, it must be protected and preserved, and we stand together to do that like a mighty army, literally clothed in the power and the glory and the love of our God, we are going to, I believe, see the only hope this nation has for a future, and that is the next great spiritual awakening. The stage is set for it.
Indeed.
I am believing for it.
Absolutely. You know, when you think of it, the passage, scripture passage says that there's a darkness that covers the earth, a thick darkness that covers the people, but the glory of the Lord shines upon us. And my pastor often says, instead of shaking your fist at the darkness, shine brighter, you know, and I love that advice. And James, I'd love for you to speak to the idea of freedom, because there are so many varying ideas of what freedom means. And for those who've been shaking their fist about their freedoms, I mean, they're getting the freedom that they're asking for. And as we watch this play out, it's nothing but destruction. And I think of what Jesus said about things are proven ripe by their fruit, and the kind of freedom that he intended, and even that our forefathers intended, was a fruitful kind of freedom. So maybe start there and unpack God-given freedom that bears fruit for even those who don't even realize that they're benefactors of it.
Well, the freedom, the liberty that our founders understood comes at great price and must be protected. It is not licensed. It is not the right to do what you want to do, but it is the God-given ability to understand what is right and do it, what we ought to do, what we should do. And once we misunderstand that, then we are doomed to catastrophic consequences. Once you refuse, cast aside the truth of God, begin to believe lies, not only believe lies, but exalt lies, you will be given over to appetites that control you, attitudes that are totally destructive and damaging and divisive, and you will be given over to practices that are against nature's law and nature's God, and pretty soon reprobate thinking. And then you reach a point, because you have cast aside the truth about freedom, you've demanded license and licentiousness, and you're living with your fist clenched in the face of a holy God while even denying his existence, you find yourself cheering the despicable things, glorying in your shame. And who would have ever believed that America could reach the state and condition we're in today, defending the despicable, the unreasonable? Ravi Zacharias has written an article that we have published on stream.org. Stream.org. I wish everyone listening would go there every day. Make it your homepage, stream.org. Now, I've got a book by that title right now that we'll talk about, I know, during the program. But stream.org, Ravi has got a phenomenal commentary that is talking about the genocide of truth, of morality, and reason. And we have reached a point of unreasoning individuals. Congress can't reason. Our candidates don't reason. Our voters don't reason. Our people will opt out. They'll say, well, I don't like what's going on, so I won't vote. Well, that's a vote. Bonhoeffer said it well. Not to act is to act. Not to speak is to speak. I can say not to vote is to vote. There is so much before us right now that is unquestionably an all-out assault on everything our founders understood necessary for freedom. And the Bible declares so clearly the boundaries, the reliable standard that keeps us safe. And if you forsake the reliable standard and the walls of protection, you're going to find yourself imprisoned by walls that have no gate and no bridges, because you will then be forced into bondage by depending upon another source of power other than God. And when that happens, you have got, in fact, another Pharaoh, a false king, a false, hope. And then it is obvious there is little hope, and people begin to live hopelessly. But here's what I want to say to the church. It's time to arise and shine with the glory of the Lord on us. Become the salt and light. Refuse to be covered. Refuse to stand down or stand back. Stand up. Stand together. Stand against evil. Storm the gates of hell that will not prevail ultimately. They don't have to prevail against my family, my marriage, my children, my community, my subdivision, my city, my county, my state, or my nation. Am I making myself clear? That's what we have to do.
Amen. And I'm sitting up a little straighter as you talk, because you're absolutely right. And we've fought this battle as Christians. I've said this. I sound like a broken record. I've said it so many times on this show. But on social media, to our own demise, I would say, because we get into these bickering arguments over issues. To me, you're speaking about symptoms and not the root of the problem. I want you to talk about living in the tension, James, of standing for what's right and good, but I mean, fighting on our knees, but at the same time, living in that tension of praying for those who persecute, praying for those who defy the things that we call sacred, like our persecuted brothers and sisters are modeling so well.
Mm-hmm. Boy, it's so sad around the world, and it's coming our way. If we don't stand against the force of evil right now, we're going to be the most mistreated, assaulted people on the planet.
Well, you coined, I think this term came from you, James, mobocracy. Did you make that up?
Well, it's one of the chapters in the book, The Stream. Let me just tell you about The Stream.
Yes,
I've already referenced Go to The Stream and read Robbie's article. Mm-hmm. Read Eric Metaxas today talking about the Constitution. It's phenomenal. In one, there are 10 divisions in the book Stream, and you can get it online right now. You can get it in the bookstores. America needs healing. We're a nation gone mad. Mobocracy, mobocracy in the heartland. We've got it. Most people, what do most people believe? What are most people doing? Well, we say most people. We talk about the evangelicals and the Catholics. They consist and comprise most people. What are most people doing about the problems we face? The second division in the book, the second part, and these are all short chapters. There's about 4 to 5 chapters in each section. The second one is spiritual awakening is our only hope. And then part 3, freedom is God's gift to mankind. We touched on that a moment ago. Evil must be fought. Next section, laws must be just. The next section, honest wealth is a good thing. The next, smaller government makes bigger citizens. In that part, chapter, America's new Pharaoh. It's not a person. It's a federal government out of control, and it must be brought under control. The next chapter in that segment, small God, big government. Then the church of state. We have a progressive theocracy, a liberal progressive theocracy being forced on the American people. And then when we're thinking about who we elect, what is more important than who? What must be done? Who says they will do it? Who can we believe will do it? There are certain individuals running. There are planks in a party that absolutely refuse not only not to protect innocent life, but demand the right to literally eliminate it. Your guest right now, James Robinson, would not have been born today. My mother was a hospice nurse caring for an elderly man, an alcoholic son forced his way on her, a 40-year-old woman who had never had a baby conceived. She asked the doctor to abort me. He refused to do it. Perhaps he said possibilities, potential, promise. He did not kill the baby in her womb. And now the father of 3, grandfather of 11, great-grandfather to a little boy, and a man who's had the privilege of seeing 20 million people publicly confess their faith in Christ here in America and around the world.
Absolutely.
And some people say there's no promise in difficult situations. Get rid of that baby. Unexpected, unwanted, and that's the world we live in today. And it's very sad.
I have to pause here to go to break talking to James Robinson. We've got 3 copies of The Stream, Refreshing Hearts and Minds, Renewing Freedom's Blessings. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put The Stream in your subject line and your mailing address in the email, and we'll be back in a moment. Tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to James Robinson. If you've ever watched Life Today with James and Betty, that's the James and the James and Betty. He's written a new book titled The Stream, Refreshing Hearts and Minds, Renewing Freedom's Blessings. And I got to tell you, James, just the cover, the title, the subtitle, it puts hope back in my heart, you know, to see this stream. Tell me how you came up with that title and why.
Well, believe it or not, I just heard the voice of the Lord. Somebody said, was it out loud? It's not louder than that. It just impacted my total being. There is a river flowing from the throne of God. And I thought, okay, that's got to be a Bible verse. You know, my response was, and of course it is in the Revelation. But the Lord continued on. The significance, he says, is the river's already flowing. And it is fed by tributaries in this kingdom. And those tributaries are my gifts to the church and to the people I love. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, witnesses, those who care enough to share the wisdom that they have found in Christ and in his word. And he said, we tend to make a tributary the river, the stream. And that's not what it's to be. I don't care if it's a gifted communicator, a gifted preacher, a gifted teacher, someone that you admire, someone you consider to be a prophet, perhaps, even have an apostolic role in the church. You don't make them the focal point. They are simply one part, a tributary feeding the stream of transforming truth. And once I recognized that, I began to look for a way to stream truth. And that's what we do in the website, stream.org, the stream. And millions and millions of people visit the stream. And my prayer is that every praying American will make the stream, stream.org, their homepage. And they will hear the most brilliant people, and many of them you've never heard of. Many of them are young people. They're millennials. They're academics who are in love with Jesus, not their education and their degree. And they are flowing, transforming truth freely. I mean, they are greater voices than many of us have ever heard. And so it's been my blessing to find with people who are discerning and brilliant and full of wisdom to find these beautiful tributaries and flow them downstream to the receptive soil, the fertile ground that becomes fruitful when it receives the blessing of the stream. And it teaches us not to look to our favorite teacher or our favorite preacher, but to realize that everyone brings something of value. We need to quit saying, I'm of Apollos and I'm of Paul or I'm of Cephas, and not even be able to be communicated with as spiritual, but rather as fleshly, carnal people who are like Simon Peter when he had confessed Christ as the Son of the living God. And the next time he opened his mouth, he was quoting Satan and Satan speaking through him. So at the level you hear God, you can hear the devil. What we need to do is understand that when we don't gather around a teacher, but the teacher Christ, and receive the beautiful wealth of knowledge and insight and inspiration and motivation that comes from these various streams, tributaries, literally feeding the stream of God's love and his truth and his life on this earth. And I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. And I'm just one part, but my part in God's heart, I'm a spokesman, but above all, I'm a servant. And I like to serve others. And when I discover something great, I'm a treasure hunter. When I find the treasure, I don't want to keep it. I want to share it with everybody. And I have the ability, it seems, to look out and recognize truth and say, I want you to hear that. I want you to receive that because of the fruit that it will bear in your own life. And I'm a pointer. Some people say you're a preacher. Well, I'm a pointer. I point to Jesus in others. I point to Jesus and say, hear him in that lady, in that woman, in that man, in that student, in that person. And this is how I spent my life. And I did that with you when you came to be on Life Today. I wanted to help Susie Larson do what God left you here to do.
Amazing. Well, this book, The Stream, Refreshing Hearts and Minds, Renewing Freedom's Blessings, maybe you need a copy today. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Hey, instead of putting the stream title, put your name in the subject line. There's a new thing that just helps us load the information so you get in the drawing, right? So just put your first name in the subject line. Don't forget your mailing address. Your name will go in the drawing 3 if you get a copy of this book. In the first section, you address the reality that we have to face if we hope to have a future, and it's this: America needs healing. What does that look like? America needs healing. Say more about that, if you would, James.
Well, our attitude toward one another. I mean, right now, I think we've got a very sick nation.
Yeah.
And we are looking at a political race right now where we have one candidate that it looks like from the time she was a child has been set her goal to be president of the United States. And it's telling us that, you know, being a woman is so important that we must have a minority president and certainly we need a woman president. Well, I agree. I rejoice in the fact that we had a minority president elected, that we had an African-American elected. I don't think that we can rejoice over the outcome of that. The fact that we reached a place we could have it is wonderful. But that which has been promoted and thrust upon the American people without coming to the table of reason, which Ravi Zacharias addresses so powerfully when he talks about the soul of a nation and about the literal genocide of reason. I mean, I'm concerned about it. And now we've got someone telling us that because she's a woman, she needs to be. We need a woman president. But is it this woman we need as president? Ask that question. And what are the principles that she espouses? What is it that she's going to promote? We really need to ask the question. On the other side, we've got a candidate. We can't seem to find any group that will ever pick him. Not a liberal, not a conservative, not a social conservative, not a Catholic, not a Protestant, not an evangelical, not a Republican, not a libertarian, not a conservative. How in the world did we get this person? And we all have to step back and say, what on earth, when the platform was filled with gifted, truly trained people in areas of political understanding, perhaps, and even knowing you, God, and I know many of them, and I talk to most all of them. Some of them I've known much of their life. They grew up hearing me preach. I admire them, and yet they're no longer there. So what would I say when we have a candidate that has now received the nomination, and everybody said, what is this man who has a past that is almost basically no way to justify it, no way to say, well, that's appropriate, when in fact it was not appropriate? What do we do with him? Well, here's what I would want to suggest. I would say, Mr. Trump, listen to those others who were on that platform. Call them to the table of reason. Together, call upon the name above every name. Seek to be in the council of the godly. And you know what he seems to be asking? Evangelical leaders. He's gathering Catholic leaders now, I believe, to listen. He asked me to speak into his life. I've never been treated more politely. I've never had anyone listen more intently. I was amazed when Ben Carson, one of my very dear friends, I prayed with every step of the way. Why in the world, Ben, would you go over here and do this? He said, I see something. I see something. Well, I've got to tell you, I see an opportunity and a possibility for, let's just say, the people's champion, Saul, bad choice. You didn't need a king. You had God. You had the King of Kings. Why did you, the people in the Old Testament, want a king like other people had? It wasn't right, Samuel said. And I want to ask everyone listening to my voice, when you get off this radio program at the end of the hour, you open the Old Testament to 1 Samuel chapter 12 and understand Samuel said, you had the king who could help you. Now you wanted a king. You got him. Biblically, we know he was not a good king. Some people are saying, well, the people's choice right now is not the best choice. But follow me. Follow what I'm saying. Whatever you do, my friend, get to verse 23. Listen to Samuel. Woe is me. Woe is me if I do not pray for this one, this people's choice, and for you, the people. And if I fail to speak the truth, and if you fail to heed the truth, if you do heed the truth, you will be blessed. If you do not hear and heed the truth, the consequences of that rebellion against God will be manifest clearly. You will see the result of not hearing and heeding God. Christians, pray for the people's champion. Now, let me just go on record and say I see something different about this particular choice of the people. David made King Saul look good. He secured the land. He conquered the enemy. He killed the giants. The difference is Saul in the Old Testament never invited the one David represented to come in and speak to him. This people's champion has invited some of the most godly leaders in the country to come in and speak truth and counsel to him.
Pause, right?
My belief is he'll fall in love with the Jesus David represents. Mm.
Right there, we got a hard break. Talking to James Robison, back in a minute. Tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to James Robison of Life Today. Have you seen Life Today with James and Betty? Great program. Well, James has written a book, The Stream, Refreshing Hearts and Minds, Renewing Freedom's Blessings. Why don't you just talk about that subtitle, if you would, James, Refreshing Hearts and Minds, Renewing Freedom's Blessings, because, and we see this a lot, when we immerse ourselves more in the news that we see than the good news that we read, we will get jaded, cynical, worried. Some reactionary, and yet we've got to renew our minds. We've got to keep a redemptive perspective, or we are going to be noise in an already noisy culture. What say you?
I'm saying that if we have the Word of God, not bound up in a leather binder, but bound up in our heart.
Amen.
Not merely carrying it, but allowing it to carry us. For we live not by sight, but by faith and confidence in what God says, which is precisely why in the last hour I very forcefully encouraged every listener to go to the Old Testament and look at what God did with people we never imagined he could use. Mm. And knowing that if, in fact, he does use a person, it's because they have received the truth of God's word and the principles, the foundation Jesus set upon which we must build. And that foundation allows the house we build, the relationship, the future that we build to withstand the storms that are sure to come. And so if we get in the word, not just read it, not just hear it, but do it, we can absolutely leave a kingdom of God imprint, a footprint, the seal of his glory on planet Earth, which means that every candidate, I mentioned one candidate. What if Mrs. Clinton, what if President Obama would actually get on their face before God and ask God for wisdom to examine many of the things that they espouse, to see whether, in fact, it has actually benefited the American people or increased the burden on the American people? Would it not be right for us to pray for them to go on pause and to actually seek counsel from those who obviously have understanding of the times, who understand the importance of biblical morality, that there is truth, that there is a reliable standard of measure that we can depend on, and it is not only the Word of God, it is the Constitution which is being discarded. We are watching those who are entrusted to keep the law join the ranks of the lawbreakers. If ever there's been a time for the American people to pause, get on our faces before God, and recognize that there are some thou shalt nots and there are some thou shalts, and thou shalt be salt and thou shalt be light, and you are left here to be witnesses unto me. You have been left here to exalt me as name above every name, to let this name and this mind be in you, which is in Christ, that you don't try to make of yourself a reputation, but you become as Christ is, a servant of others, and you're loving your neighbor because you love God with all your heart. And I'm telling you, Susie, right now, and you kind of referred to it in the very opening statements, this is the time for the church to arise and shine with the glory of God on us. And I will simply tell you this. If we do not, then we will stand up in the ashes. And I believe the church will shine when we come out of catastrophic consequences of forsaking God and forsaking truth and losing the shelter and shadow of the Almighty. Or we can respond to the invitation of Jesus as he wept over Jerusalem. Think about it. He's weeping over Jerusalem, who refused and rejected the prophets. And he sees every building level. He sees total desolation. What does Jesus do? I believe the same thing he's doing for us right now. He extended a glorious invitation in the face of desolation and destruction for the consequences of rejecting God's truth. And he said, I long for you to come like chicks to the wings of the hen. And anyone that's ever been around a farm and has ever seen a hen raise her wings, the little chicks rush. And when God put that vision on my heart, I'm telling you, Susie, I saw the American people rushing, not to some political candidate as their hope, not to some party, not to some platform, but rushing back to the shelter and shadow of Almighty God under the watch, care, and direction of the shepherd, the Lord who is our shepherd, who will lead us beside still waters made calm by his presence. Green pastures make up for the years the locusts have eaten. I saw him set a table before us in the presence of all enemies and accusers, and his glory and his grace following us every day of our life. That's what I see. And I'm telling you, my heart overflows with that hope and that prayer.
And that is Scripture. It is absolutely powerful, and it's beautiful. And I'm going to read this. You basically just said it, but I had it in my notes because I want to make sure that our listeners heard it, so hear it again. I'm hopeful, and I have good news to announce from God. He is the shelter from the storm and the shepherd who will lead us to lie down in green pastures beside still waters and restore us body and soul while preparing a table before us with goodness and mercy following us even in the presence of many enemies and accusers. So speak to the person, James, listening today who's been pretty tied up in knots as they've been maybe watching the news to such a degree that they've lost a redemptive perspective. Because, of course, and you hear it in your voice and we feel it, the alarm, we should be alarmed. We'd be entertaining ourselves to death not to understand the times. But how do they get from there to here, to this place where they say, there's actually the good news is still the good news, and he does lead me to these places of refreshing so that I can be a light. What advice do you have for that person?
All right. Well, I want everyone to zero in as though we were just seated about across a table from one another in the room where I could actually reach out and take you by the hand. Jesus said that he would be with us in the valley of the shadow of death. Mm-hmm. Now, we've helped a lot of people who were dying. We've given them clean water. We've fed them. We've saved their lives. We've set them free all over the world. But I know what it is to walk through the valley of the shadow of death because we lost our beautiful baby girl when she was 40 years old, 40 years of sowing nothing but life, three beautiful children, the most beautiful Christian witness a person could ever hope to know. Mm-hmm. And we had to go to our daughter's funeral and listen to her three children get up and deliver the most incredible statements. Pastor Willie George said, I've been pastoring for 45 years and never in my life have I ever heard anything like this. Uh-huh. There is no way for me to tell your listeners how much my heart aches, but only the Lord could hold me up. And let me just say to everyone listening, and I'm sure you did too, Susie, people prayed for me and Betty, and you held our broken heart in your arms. You see, we can talk about the hold that Jesus has when he puts his arms around us and pulls us up to his heart, but when you can see that and feel it in others, and we did, we were able to walk through that because people walked through us. And this is the Jesus that wants to reach out to everybody right now. It's got a broken heart. They don't have a good job. And I want to say to everybody that's worried about unemployment and not having a job, I want to say everybody that's got a job better get concerned. Because if we continue trusting the federal government and Pharaoh as our source, we're not going to have any jobs in America. We're all going to be slaves. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that. We're going to absolutely be slaves to a system that's corrupt. We got to look under the mountains, the hills from whence cometh our help. And so I'm saying to everyone here, please listen to me. We have a comforter. We have one who will direct our steps. He will reach out and take you by the hand and walk through the storms. You can hang on to him because he's hanging on to you. And if you find yourself in a pit, I don't care if, as Beth Moore says, if it's a pit that you were thrown in or you fell in or you dug it yourself and found yourself in it, Jesus is leaning down, inclining his ear to you right now, and I believe extending his hand. I do not believe he's shaming you. I don't believe he's calling you stupid child and how did you get in there and you shouldn't have been in there. I believe he's looking down and extending his hand and saying, would you just look up? I incline my ear. Would you just call unto me? I will lift you up out of a horrible pit. I will set your feet on a solid rock. I will establish your ways, and I will be your shelter, and I will be the one that leads your path and directs you in the paths of righteousness, and I will be your rear guard. And you will be known as those who are well-watered gardens, and you restore the foundation upon which freedom stands and rebuild the walls. And if Nehemiah did it in just over 50 days, we can correct America's perilous course in short order. So that's the invitation today to us right now. And I say it to every person listening to me. You may not be a visible part of the body, like James Robinson or Susie Larson or some of the other preachers and teachers that you hear and admire, and rightly so. But I want to say something, and Susan, how I pray everybody listening to me right now will hear what I'm saying. Laying in bed some months back, 72 years I've been on this earth, a child that doctor would not abort, miserable circumstances, living in poverty. My houses did not face the street. I did not have a father, but I met the ultimate father. But think about this. I'm laying in bed, and I feel this little pounding in my chest very faithfully. I wish you could hear it right now. And I heard my heart, a part of my body that you cannot see, that is not visible. And my heart was saying, 72 years, I've been faithful. 72 years, I've been dependable. 72 years, I've been loyal. 72 years, I've done exactly what God designed me to do. And I want to say to every person listening to me right now, I may be a voice for God. I may be someone who communicates truth and perhaps power and hopefully in love always. But I am not more important than those of you. We call them the vital organs. We call them the ones that life depends upon. We can't even see them, for heaven's sake. And yet the gospel says those of you who often have least honor should have the greatest honor. Heap it upon them because they're so vital. And the Bible says, how are they going to believe in whom they've not heard? How are they going to hear unless we preach? But let's get the bottom line. How shall they preach unless they're sent? You're on this radio program today, Susie, because somebody's helping you be there. I'm right now speaking on your program because somebody cared enough to see that it's on the air. I go on Life Today television because people say we want Life Today to flow. We help people all over the world with missions because people nobody saw. Many of the checks that come to us are written with a trembling hand from some home who are an elderly person on a fixed income says, I can send a little bit to help somebody else. All of the great outreaches on this earth were prompted by the love of God pounding in someone's heart and saying, I want to get it out. And so, Susie, I'm telling you, this is the day for the body of Christ to stand up. Every part essential, every part important, every part connected to one another, and all parts submitted to the one head, Jesus Christ. And if we do that, we're going to witness the greatest spiritual awakening in the history of the world.
Wow. And if I can just say, if that doesn't fan your flame, friends, your wood just might be wet. I'm just saying. That was powerful, James. Thank you so much. We need to take a quarter hour break in just a moment, but I want you to say a word. And if we need to carry it over to the other side, we can do that. But you dedicate a whole chapter to the importance of gratitude. In fact, you even say, if we want to be truly happy, we must value everyone. Say a word about gratitude, if you would.
Well, we live in an unthankful society. I just don't even understand it. I mean, I'm talking to you on an Apple telephone right now. By the way, a founder who said he was gay, and now their chief officer is also says he's gay. What do we do with that? I'll tell you what you do. You love them as though it were one of your children and one of your grandchildren or one of your neighbors. We don't ever approve anything that's wrong, but we love them. And I'm expressing gratitude for what these people did. And I'm going to share the love of God with them without compromising, without wavering. But I want to make a point about this little Apple phone. It started with sand. Sand. Microchips. It's unbelievable what man created in the image of God can do with what God gave him to steward on this earth as the great garden of God. So I'm telling you right now, we ought to start praising God. I'm looking out right now at trees. I'm looking at the leaves. This is one of the chapters in the book, Stream. Do you know that every one of these leaves are reaching up toward the light right now? I'm looking at them. They're reaching for light. They turn. The blades of grass will turn. And did you know I'm looking at the base of that tree? And the roots are going down deeply to get the water. God spoke to me as I looked at all he created. He said, everything I created is seeking light and water, except those I created in my own image. And they're not looking to the light often enough, and they're not letting their roots go down to be rooted and grounded in love and in the truth of my word. God have mercy on us. When we come back, I want to invite everyone listening to tell everyone you know that on Friday night on primetime television, I'm going to deliver the message that God has burned into my heart to the church and the nation for this hour. And I will not dodge a single issue we face. I'll tell you where to find it. Friday night, prime time. Everyone in America can watch it.
Wow. Talking to James Robison again today, author of the book, The Stream, Refreshing Hearts and Minds, Renewing Freedom's Blessings. Got a copy I'd love to get into your hands. You want to get in the drawing? This is how we'll do it. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your first name in the subject line. Give me your mailing address in the body of the email. Your name will go in a drawing. Three of you get a copy of this book. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how then shall we live in such a day? How do we pray? How do we stand? How do we love? That's what we're talking about with James Robison when we come back. He's the lion and the lamb. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to James Robison today about his book, The Stream, Refreshing Hearts and Minds, Renewing Freedom's Blessings. This is a day for hope. Even though we can look around and feel despair, it is a day for faith. It's a day for steadfast, sturdy prayer. Here's an excerpt from James Robison's book. Listen to this. Jesus is God's answer to man's weakness and evil intention. His story can become our story. Jesus took this broken, fatherless, impoverished boy and delivered me from destruction and the intentions of the evil one. He will do the same for all who receive him and follow him with their whole heart. Jesus is a light that pierces the darkness. He offers strength beyond ourselves and grants us the grace and ability to share the hope, joy, and peace that only he can give in the face of the most challenging possible circumstances. Just as the shepherds and wise men followed the light of the star of Bethlehem, we must follow the light of the forever bright and morning star, Jesus. That's so great. What I love about this book, James, is that you weave in this hopeful, amazing encouragement that compels us to look up while also not mincing words and kind of really laying out what's really going on in the earth today. So you say you've got a broadcast coming up where you're not going to miss a point. Say more about that if you would.
Well, let me touch a couple of things. The book you referred to, The Stream, if the people like the little bursts of truth and inspiration, challenge, you might say, that they've heard from me, this book is filled with between 40 and 50 chapters, and most of them are 3 and 4 pages long. They're bursts of truth and inspiration and insight and understanding, wisdom that will help. And so do get it and pass it on. And then I'm going to tell you about this event, but there's one thing that I want to ask you to give me the opportunity to do before mm-hmm. we say goodbye. I want to pray for Secretary Clinton. I want to pray for President Obama. And I want to pray for the other nominee that God will somehow capture their attention and we totally reevaluate, all of us, starting with James Robison, Susie Larson, all of us. So I want to have time for that prayer. But let me tell you about, I'm going to be speaking on Friday night on the Daystar Christian Television Network. And Central Time, which is where I live, is that where you are, Susie? Are you Central
yes,
right
sir.
Now?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Central Time at 8 o'clock. Central Time, Daystar Christian Network. I'm pretty sure. I know it's on DirecTV, channel 369. I think it's on Dish. I don't know all the places, but you can also watch it live online. So this will be live from 8 to 9:30. And I'm going to be delivering the message that God has burned into my heart now for many, many years. And I have been meeting on my face with most of the Christian leaders for the last 6 years. That those of you listening to me right now admire and respect and hold in the highest esteem, including Catholic leaders. And we have been on our face before God. And then I have been on my face with most of the national leaders and business leaders who are willing to listen to wisdom and acknowledge that we need the wisdom that comes from above. Our founders referred to as divine providence. So on Daystar between 8 and 9:30, I will be delivering a message to the church and to the nation. And I will deal very specifically with what God has revealed during these times of prayer, not just to me, but to the people that we would consider perhaps sitting in the council of the godly and coming together where one businessman looked in and saw these leaders. He said, you couldn't have brought those men in the room if you tied them up and drug them in there. They were so diverse from so many different circles of influence, from so many different Christian perspectives. And they sat there in the miracle unity that Jesus prayed for. And that's when the stream was born,
wow.
The website stream. And it was a miracle. We know that Jesus' prayer, that we be one with the Father, sanctified by the truth, not bludgeoned with it, not beat up with it, not divided by it, but it becomes the framework upon which all the love and the flesh that feels in this body of ours, with the skin on the bones are grotesque and ugly. If all you throw out is principles and the structure, and you don't show them the tenderness and the sensitivity of our fingers and our heart and our care, then we're giving them an improper picture of Jesus. So truth perfects us, not divides us. And then here's the last part. It's only been glimpsed in history. Today we can witness full force the supernatural unity Jesus prayed for, where the world knows we're his disciples because we love one another. So that's my hope and prayer. Mm-hmm. Don't miss 8 o'clock, Daystar, Friday. And I would love to pray that prayer if you'll give me an opportunity.
Indeed.
To.
Let's do this. Let's pray. Go ahead, please.
Father, Secretary Clinton, She knows what it is to have some heartbreak. And I ask you to lift her up. I ask you, dear God, to speak to her more clearly than she's ever heard you, for President Obama, too. And I pray we get on our knees, not because we're knocked on our knees, but because we bow before you, the living God and Father. And then, Father, I pray for the nominee of the conservative or Republican Party, Donald Trump. It's amazing what he's done with those children. It seems like they have a consistency that a lot of preachers' kids don't have, a respect level. It's kind of amazing. It's puzzling to us, Lord. And yet I know, because I have seen it with my own eyes, this man is reaching out and he's asking for wisdom, and recognizes, as boisterous and boastful as he seems to be all the time, it's suddenly deep inside he seems to be reaching up, not just reaching out. And I pray you'll speak to him. And I pray, Lord, he'll learn what it is to not only be on his knees, but to hear your voice. And I pray, dear God, that you will hear the heart cry of your family and your children and the heart cry of every hurting, suffering person. And you will lift us out of the darkness and despair and the defeat. Lift us up out of the ditch. Raise up out of our own failed pasts. And do not let us be a prisoner through the mistakes or the sins of our past. God, set us free, lift us up, and may we exalt you as name above every name. That at the name of Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, not because we're forced to, but because we see you high and lifted up in your body, the church, as the magnificent Savior. In Jesus' name and for your glory, we pray. Susie, thank you.
Amen. And James, thank you for all that you do, and we appreciate the time so very much today.
Well, Susie, it may be that I do some of the things I do because of you and because of your faithfulness and your love and your desire to reach out and put God's arms around all the people in the beautiful part of this great United States where you live, where God is so anxious to heal and lift people up out of the challenging, troubled times that we have actually brought upon ourselves because of poor decisions. And I just want to see everyone you touch blessed, because you've touched me. And I'm on your program for 1 hour today because I love you and appreciate you and I respect you. And I thank you for who you are and who you represent.
Wow. Thank you so much, James. We bless you, and I'll be praying for you in the days ahead, okay?
And I know you will for me, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart.
All right. Until we meet again, sir.
God bless.
And you. Title of his book again, The Stream, Refreshing Hearts and Minds, Renewing Freedom's Blessings. Wow, I'd love to get a copy of this book in your hands. Email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Put your name in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Three of you will get a copy of this great book. Wow. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. You know, I ask you to do this most times. Be a radio missionary. We've made this show very shareable. With a click of a button, you can send out my conversation with James by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Now, remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.